Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The 23rd of Rajab, 1446. Let's welcome our Mulana Musa Akudi Hafidhullah. Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana keeping after this?
Alhamdulillah, Mulana Zahid Sahib, very, very well. With the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no reason to complain. We are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all his ni'mets that he has bestowed upon us.
Alhamdulillah. I met my honorable father this Sunday. And then he said, Mulana Musa Akudi was here and he gave salam. So it brought a lot of happiness to my heart. And I said, but wasn't Mulana sick? He said, no, but I believe Mulana gave the lecture this past Jumu'ah there in Marlborough.
No. I didn't give a lecture. I was just sitting with him on the one side.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood then. Okay.
No, alhamdulillah. You know, when you think of life itself, you know, one mosquito, you know, can put a person through so much difficulties. There was a story I read about a farmer who was very, very wealthy in the Nelspruit area. And Maulana, you know, we were reading up on the story and following it up, and they couldn't find out what is the reason for his severe sickness. Eventually, after some time, only we discovered it's malaria. So a human being, you know, can be put off the track by one minute creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a mosquito, you know what I mean? So we have these lessons in life. What I learned, you know, seriously was, you know, to share in the pain of others. When I was on the taken to the operating theater, and this is a reminder for everybody, you know, as people were standing around me, I recited the shahadat, you know, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadur rasulullah. And then I explained to them, and I told everybody that you know, the an anesthetic, an anesthetist was also there, the people around, and I told them that this is a phase like temporary death. In fact, after I came out of my anesthetic, and I told the anesthetist, I told him, I wish death can be so easy, where they just insert, you know, a needle in you, and within seconds, you know, you have lost consciousness completely, and you're oblivious. You do not know what's happening around you. So I said, I wish death was so easy. So after proclaiming the Shahada, then I also made a statement. And I said that because there are Christians around, so I said, and we also believe in Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, who's famously known as Jesus, that he will come back into this world, inshallah, and set right all the corruption and the mischief that is spread in the earth. And once again, you know, peace, you know, and barakah and blessings will reign in the world. I mentioned this here. And then after that, I was born into a deep sleep, you know, and then you just wake up after a little while learning what has been done. So at that particular time, you embrace the thought to yourself that this is trivial, it's nothing. My heart goes out to the people of Gaza. You know, Gaza, Mufti Sahib says, is Izzah. And these children, yeah, you know, they're taken into hospitals. And the hospitals are also bombed. And I just don't know. I cannot even imagine what they have been going through, that without anesthetics, you know, their hands and their legs, they've been amputated and everything. So I said, Maulana Zahid Sahib, at that particular time, you know, tears come out from your eyes and you think to yourself, we are nothing, you know what I mean? Not even a speck of dust compared to the sacrifices of the people of Gaza.
It's a loud lesson for all of us, alhamdulillah. And Mulana, what we wanted to speak about, just for a few minutes, if Mulana can just inform us as well. There's been a document going around, and we've seen it also, and it brought us much comfort as well to know that the ulama is speaking out. But many people still are wondering what's happening there on that side of things with regards to the masjid. And Mulana can just give us a few details about that, if it's comfortable with Mulana.
Yeah, no, no, no problems at all, Maulana. Maulana, you know what? This masjid that they have erected here in Mackenzie Park. Now, Mackenzie Park has already got two masjids, right? So there is, we get happy when masjids are built, you know, in different muhallas, as we term it in Urdu, or, you know, parts of a residential area like Lanesia, where, you know, every 2-3 kilometers you'd find a masjid. It makes it very, very convenient for the people. So alhamdulillah, with the establishment of a masjid, we would be very, very happy and thrilled. But then there are motives and intentions that people, you know, build their masjids with. So in this particular instance, masjid, I think the Masjid al-Muslimin, right, which has a very, very embracing name. So a name of absolute unity. I mean, you know what I mean? The Muslims are now united. The Muslims have this masjid for them. So this masjid is open to all Muslims. So alhamdulillah, it's a very, very enticing and a very, very beautiful name. The other two masjids that are in the area, the one is known as Masjid Umar Farooq, and the other one is known as Masjid Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And these were two great stalwarts, you know, amongst the Khulafa Rashidin. And the people must know that amongst the Khulafa Rashidin, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an was the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, ummahat, one of the ummahat al-mu'mineen, was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the daughter of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, was also married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now you have these two great personalities who are connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the names, you know, their names, masjids connected to them are established in these particular areas. Alhamdulillah, so alhamdulillah, in this particular area of Mackenzie Park in Binoni. Now, when this masjid came up, you know, some ulama contacted me, and the ulama wanted to, you know, told me that look here, this masjid is coming up here. And we have to put out a statement. So when they send me a copy of the statement, I mentioned, I said myself, I said that, you know what, a loose statement which is anonymous is not the right thing to do. What we have to do is we have to append our names. And it was the last minute. Now I'll tell you why I boldly put my name to it. Some time back, there's this Muhammad Al-Asi, who is a Shia. All right. Very, very closely affiliated with the Ayatollah Khomeini, starting his company, etc. Praises him tremendously, and he had this particular person invited. Now, there's two ways you can invite a person. One is you're not aware of the credentials of that person. But I don't think our ulama are so naive to invite somebody onto their minbar. Onto their pulpit, right? And they do not know about the background of this particular person. There's always a background check.
And
right?
And besides, sorry, Mulana, to interrupt. At that time, there was so much of awareness created even before that actual program took place, even when the posters were sent out to everyone. I recall we even sent it out to everyone and everything as well. So there's no, it was definitely brought to the attention. But despite that, the program did continue.
That's right, Mulana Zaisab. You're exactly correct. There were posters. And you look at our Merkaz Sahaba. I mean, every day, I don't think a day goes by in any one of the programs of Merkaz Sahaba, you know, where the treachery of the Yahud are not of the Shias is not spoken about, or their beliefs, you know, and the contempt that it deserves. You also, you know, on your website, you post frequently, and Mufti AK probably every day, I think, he speaks about it. Now, Mufti Mas'ud Sahab, alhamdulillah, he studied in our institution, Jalalabad as well. You know, character-wise, of a wonderful person and everything. Now, me, I did not fail at that particular time. You know, I phoned him up personally, right? I'm taking his name very, very boldly because, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, he's also firm on what he is doing. So there's nothing for me to be afraid of taking his name or anything like that. He also studied in Jalalabad in that time. when I spoke to him on the phone and I told him that, you know, you are inviting an individual who is a Shia, you know, and I didn't go into much detail in everything, all right? Some other people will say, no, it's sympathetic towards the Shias, etc. So you have invited such a person. Now, you know, in my heart, I think to myself that if somebody swears your mother, you know, if somebody is ridicules, you know, your noble companion regarding whom Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and the companion in the grave, those who stood through thick and thin, you know, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, you know, I can fulfill the haqq, you know, of each and any everyone amongst my companions. But the haqq of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, only Allah will fulfill them. You know what I mean? So such love he had for Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And even in the migration to Medina Munawwara, you know, when they pursued by the enemy, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes refuge in the cave of Thor, a mountain high up, you know, which the Saudis were starting to dig up on the sides of this particular mountain here as well. And they were making establishing buildings. In fact, in the whole area in front of this particular mountain, you see also, you'll find that they cutting into the mountain. So, when I go for ziyarah on the lighter side, and Molana, you always speak about the bliss of marriage in that with Mufti Sahib, you know, the whole program. But what happened is I say that, you know, if you tell your beloved that I move a mountain for you, then they look at you strangely and say, are you sure you'll be able to do that? But in Saudi Arabia, they have moved mountains to make way for all these monstrosities. You know, you have the power, Luna, Phil, Bunyan, and they're putting up all these mountains and everything. So when we go there, I make the people get off the bus. A lot of the bus drivers just show it to you driving past. I say, no, we have to breathe the air at this place which was to which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu alayhi passed through. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in the cave for 3 days with his companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And the difficulties that they encountered on this journey, now there's no time to go into those details. You swear that noble personality who was gifted with the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the momentous journey of Hijrah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, such a firm and established person, you know. These people are even saying that they'll pull them out from the graves, you know, for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and they will lash them and they'll do that. They will take out the body of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, this will do. Now, you know, these are good. I'm going to discuss all these things. These are things that are well documented and known. Now, these are the people that you're inviting on your podium, on your premises, and you're giving them an open opportunity to propagate, right? So when this happened, Hazrat Maulana, now I am a witness to it because I spoke to the Mufti Sahib myself, and the Mufti Sahib, what he replied to me? The Mufti Sahib told me that, you know what, we all inclusive, you know, we entertain other people as well, you know, our platforms are open and everything, and we listen to different views and everything. Now, the minute you have this notion, you yourself have the capability to distinguish between right and wrong. But the masses and the awam, if they have faith in Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain calls the Shia into his masjid, for example, right? Because Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain has given the permissibility of that person, whatever that person says will be digested by the ummah. Because it came from a reliable person. So when I had this personal discussion with him in the past already, right? So in my heart, if we look at our houses, we got security, right? We got burglar proofing. We got cameras, right? Surveillance. We are connected to, to security services in our town. Why? For the safeguard of our life and for the safeguarding protection of our belongings.
100%.
Right? If we can go through that length to safeguard our property and our lives, tell me, Markaz Sahaba is in existence. What aren't we working? We are working for the protection and the safety of the iman of the Muslim ummah.
Mm, true.
All right? Now, if you treasure your property so much, you treasure your wealth so much, you treasure your life so much, mustn't you treasure your iman?
100%. True.
Right. Now, you're giving your platform open to anybody. Right, to come there and say whatever he likes, you know, and it's open to him whenever he likes, he can come and do that. What is going to happen to our masses? Now the ulama, I'm very, very weak, right? I give my personal layer. But I'm speaking about the general group of ulama. If the general group of ulama do not protect the Muslim ummah, won't they be answerable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you have your security guard at the gate and some elements have entered, you know, your premises, you are going to take off with your security company and your gate and tell them, listen, you have no right to let these people come in here because they pose a threat to us. So now we ulama, it is our responsibility to warn the people that, listen here, there's a threat. Because it is made known to you that we are broad-minded, you know, we are all embracing, we are all inclusive, you know. So this is, now you must remember one thing, that many years back, I remember I gave a talk in one masjid, you know, in Peter Maritzburg. It was very, very simple. I just said, al-yawma, Allah Ta'ala revealed the ayah, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-dina. This day I have made your deen kamil and complete for you. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I fulfilled my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, and I've chosen for you Islam as your deen. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something perfect. Now if you ask anybody, if something is perfect, can you make it more perfect? You cannot make it more perfect. It's perfect. You know, so you will find, you know, two groups that are prevalent today, right? I'm not talking about Shias and all this. I'm just saying you'll find an extremes. One is the modernists. And the modernists will say, hey, you know what, these Maulanas, these ulama, they're very orthodox, you know. But truly, if you want to practice true Islam, you have to go back 1,450 years back. You have to go back. So there's no scope for modernity in Islam that you must present Islam, you know, like a lollipop to the people, that, you know, it must sound, it must just be very sweet, very, very beautiful. It must be simple and there's no difficulty in Islam and things like that. When the person takes that kalima, you know, then the Quran Majid also declares, do you think you're going to say the kalima and you won't be tested? What is happening in Gaza? What is happening everywhere? The resilience and the firmness of the Muslims. There is a period of test and tribulation that comes. You have to tell the person, listen here, you have to take out charity, you have to take out zakah. You have to fast in the month of Ramadan from dawn to dusk. I cannot make anything more simpler for you and say you can go to a water fast. You can have some coffee in between. You can have a fruit fast. My fasting that my Nabi, beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has taught me, you know what I mean, is that from the time of the true dawn until the setting of the sun, you will not consume a minutest thing that will go down your throat. Khalas, finish. So you can't water down Islam for the modernist. On the other hand, there's a group of people, and they say that, you know what, we will aid, you know, كل محدثة بدعة. Every new thing is bid'ah. We will add to the deen. And when we add to the deen, then, you know, this was like it was this in the time of Rasulullah wasn't sufficient. Now we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this at the graves, and we're going to do this and that and that. So they also went out into the extremes, you know. And so now what happened basically is you sit with a situation that the purity of Islam is a threat. So we only know one Islam. Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. That which I am on, Rasulullah SAW said, and my companions. And that is the one, markaz of the Sahaba, is if there's no Sahaba, then there's no existence of deen. Because they are the ones, kuntum khayra ummah. They were the first recipients of the wahi of Rasulullah SAW that came to them. Now when they are the first recipients, markaz Sahaba, so esteemed, and these Shias, besides four or five Sahaba, all the other sahabas are kafir. This is what they say. As Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, as Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, as Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, they only accept as Ali radiallahu ta'ala. All right. So now, this is their viewpoint, and they make it known, they make it open. The one who killed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, they have a shrine that is built in his honor. Know what I mean? And before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had the Persian Empire. And this Persian Empire, till today, if you Google the word Nowruz, then you will find that the Persians go out into the mountains with fire. It is a practice that is not in Islam, but they are aligned to this. Many of them even say that, you know what, Umar radiallahu anhu shouldn't have brought Islam to this particular region in this particular area. And is that the enmity you must have with somebody who took you out from fire worship? You were Zoroastrians, you were Persians, and then this is the enmity that you embrace. Now, such people who hold these concepts that are completely... Now, you ask any Muslim straightforward, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Tell me, were the Shias in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Then they'll tell you no. So when these people came into existence after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, and how did they come into existence? Oh, no. There was a Jew, you know, Abdullah bin Sabah. And it was this Jew here who now brought about this religion of Shiaism, caused fragmentation in the Ummah. And this is what you find present today. Now you're inviting such people. Isn't it my duty, your duty, Maulana, to inform the public that please don't go there? There'll be a contamination with your imam probably, because we don't give all the details, you know, in pamphlets and things like that. Maybe the need will arise that these people are all inclusive, all embracing. They allow anybody to come to their minbar, you know, and to speak or anything like that. You know, your iman can be lost. You're so worried about your wealth. Your daughter or your son, Mulana Zaid sir, wants to frequent a house in the neighborhood where they're selling drugs.
True.
Are you going to tell your son and daughter, don't worry, go, but you must come back. You know what I mean? So before Isha, you must be back home. You will hold your son by the hand. You'll give him a hiding. You'll take your daughter. You're going to pull your daughter out from the den of vice which that person is frequenting. What? In the end, your son ends up to be a drug addict. Na'udhu billah min zalik. Allah Ta'ala saved the Muslim Ummah from this, because it poses a great threat to the Ummah. And all these kuffar, you know what I mean, they are the promoters of drugs, and they let it happen, you know what I mean. So that what happens is, in the books of fiqh, the first thing you will find that the person who is mukallaf must be a mu'min, a Muslim. Second one, he must be sane. So they try and create insanity in you, get you out of your mind, so you don't become mindful of the laws of shaykh. La taqrabu salata wa antum sukara. Do not even go near salah if you are intoxicated. So they intoxicate the ummah. You'll be so concerned. We are so concerned about our children. Now, if somebody wants to intoxicate you as far as your iman is concerned, all right, because you are all inclusive, you embrace the views and thoughts of everybody, are you going to allow your son to go there? Tomorrow Allah will ask me that there was a situation like this here. You did not stand up. There were those people who ridiculed my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family and companions. You did not stand up for them. What answer am I going to give? So in my little humble way, we just lent our name and we said that, you know what, you have to be very, very careful, you know, that there is this masjid coming up. And what happens is, nothing more, we said that the Shia inclination, you see, you know, sympathetic towards Shias, and you allow them on your minbar. So this is what is going to happen, you know. So now there's an article that came out in the Crescent International, right? And Crescent International is known to be a magazine that is promoted by these same, very, very same people, you know, it's Mohammed Al-Asi. And So these people, yeah, you know, their words are very sweet. Their political articles in the Crescent are fantastic, you know. They're very impressive. But in that impressiveness, you know, if you get caught up, then you can very, very easily go in the wrong direction. So shouldn't we warn the Ummah? And so if you look at a young boy, 21 years old, in his youth, if you have to tell him, you know what, these ulama, they led you astray. You know, there's a battle, And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed the Sahaba Ikram to contract a temporary marriage. And they were already teaching you. They're teaching you all the wrong things, but Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed it. The young people would say, you know, this ulama, then what they refer to us as the Indo-Pak ulama. This is the fact. They'll tell you the Indo-Pak ulama. Well, the Indo-Pak ulama, they're very narrow-minded and, you know, they're cramped in our terms and things like that. So the reality is this yet. So now they've been teaching us the wrong things. So we have to now propagate what is right. So, you know, so they've been keeping us. So now I can get married to a girl for 1 month or 2 months. You know, or the girl can tell her father and mother doesn't even know about it. And it's happening in the universities. I mean, I heard about that. And then they have abortions and things like that. You know, a Shia overtakes them, handsome boy, shows them their love. And the says, you know what? You don't have to be bound. We can get married to one another and for 1 year, and we won't commit any zina whatsoever, you know. It'll be so nice. So they contract a marriage which is stipulated for a period. Mustisab speaks about this so every now and then. Now, if this notion and concept is just promoted by somebody, and our youngsters pick up to that, won't we be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, Hazrat Maulana, you brought and praised the subject. I was going to speak a little bit about something else. And you approach the subject. So I just said that it's our responsibility to stand out for anything that is contrary to the true vein of Islam. And if there's any fear, you know, if there's any doubt, anything, that abstention. So we have done our responsibility. But there are many people that are inclined, you know, to this particular notion and things like that. We have done our responsibility. We have fulfilled. It is our duty, you know, to warn the ummah. We must remember one thing, that your iman is the most precious gift. I mean, if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, this occasion of Miraj, I was going to speak about it, when he, proclaimed the deen of Islam, he's met with stiff resistance from his entire family. And they even went to the extent, three things, you know, will give you wealth, right? So wealth lures people, temptation, you know. And many a times, you know, these organizations, they have so much money at their disposal. They can buy you out with wealth. I mean, Mustisab speaks about the 600,000 rand check that went to the Jamiat. Mustisab speaks about now what happened in the institute in Cape Town. I can't get the name now. But 100,000 rand check by the mayor. So, mal. So, they offered Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wealth. Right? Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preferred, you know, dates and water. Days passed in the house of Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where the fire was never ever lit. Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not inclined towards wealth. Then they say, we'll make you our Amir. You know, so you can be the king of the Hashemite kingdom, Jordan. You can be, you know what I mean, Sisi. You know what I mean? Buy out individuals, sell the entire nation. Buy out the Fatah organization, you know, in Palestine. And you know what? What do you call it? Make the rest of the people slaves. So this is what has happened to the dictatorships of the world. You know what? Wealth they possess. So they offered wealth to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no wealth. Imarat, you know, leadership, Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. Then the third thing that is enticing, you know, this is generally applicable to everybody, right? Okay. Most beautiful woman, you know, you can be 70 years old, 75 years old, you know. Jahan aurat ki baat aati hai, the minute there's a talk about a woman, the ears stand up wide. Ah, you know what I mean? A girl. So Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi offered the most beautiful women of the Quraysh. You know what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi said? He says, you can give me the sun in my right hand and you can give me the moon in my left hand. I will not desist from what I am doing. I have to do my propagation, invite people towards the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have to endure to stay firm by this, rejecting all their proposals? He went through great amount of hardship, you know, and that is the, it came onto Ammatul Huzn, the year of grief. You know, in the 10th year of Hijrah, when Rasulullah lost his beloved wife, Bibi Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he lost his uncle who was a supporting structure over him, you know, and then the kuffar had a free reign. At that particular time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so despondent and so, I wish I had a friend, you know, who would be by my side. I was somebody supported me, and Allah ta'ala sent Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, and then he was invited, you know what I mean, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he got this noble status. But as I'm just giving that a little bit, very much in brief. But the whole life of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was iman, iman. Hazrat Maulana, we read to my honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba, to the Muslim Ummah, every day, you know, we are commercial parts, even on his deathbed, he was concerned about the salah of a mu'min. When we are in the proximity of a masjid, let us go and go and perform salat with jamaat. You know, in our homes, create a mahol, you know, of iman, of tazkiyah, of ta'lim. Have a dedicated place, you know, with a couple of musallas to sit down. This is the place where the family are going to sit. Let the women read their salat at that particular place. Why? This, you know, we could have the Christians go once a week to the church. But we are so connected with this ibadah that no other, and this ibadah, by the way, was a gift on the occasion of Mi'raj, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take something for your ummah. They're going to ask you, what did you come with? So Rasulullah asked me, I came with this ibadah. There is no comparison to this ibadah of salat. There's some, they fold their hands in front of them and they pray. There's some, they stand in some apanas and this and that in yoga. You know what I mean? We're standing on one leg and they do those particular sacrifices. Won't compare to our ibadah. In our ibadah of salat, from the time you say, Allahu Akbar, glorifying Allah in His greatness, and you put your hands upwards, you say, I'm leaving the world behind, and you tie your hands, you know, below your navel, and you're now connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only Allahu Akbar. My life and mission is that Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. How many times in that salah you say Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu liman hamida, you pray Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The prelude to the salat is also Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it's adhan. So the greatness of Allah must come into our heart. Then, no deviation, no shiasm, no sympathy with a Shia, no opportunity for him to be on our platform. What you say? Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. O Muslim Ummah, understand what this means. Guide us on sirati mustaqim, a straight path. If you draw a line, it is straight. It cannot even have, you know, you get different directions. I forgot it at this stage. My sheikh once spoke about it, when at the beginning, if there's a 1 degree, to, you know what I mean, diversion, and the person carries on and continues with the line with a 1 degree diversion, in the front, the polarities will be great. The distance will be very, very great. So, Ya Allah, not even the minutest diversion from Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, you keep us safe. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. I seed over, Ya Allah, this iman unto you. Look after it for me, Ya Allah. Rabbana la tuzigh kulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Innaka antal wahhab. Make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana khfir lana wa li ikhwani lilladhina sabaquna bil iman. Iman, iman. Iman is our life. So this is why you get to give our life for iman. What we have to do for iman. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba kiram did in the battle. Ya Allah, if everybody has to perish this night on the eve of the battle of Badr, there will be nobody left to take your name, Ya Allah. So you can imagine what the most valuable tears that were shed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those tears we must throw away, and we must allow our enemies to take our platforms and then to hoodwink our masses, our ummah, and lead them astray. It is contrary to the vein of Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. So I don't want to be all-inclusive. I don't want to be have an alternate viewpoint. For me is only, and for us only, is ma ana alihi wa ashabi, you know, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam propagated and sahaba ikram propagated. We will not allow anyone who may be as dynamic as he may be, you know, in the deliverance of his subject matter, as beautifully spoken English as there can be, you know, because in the minal bayan al sihrun, even in a speech there can be sihr. You can find orators who can swing you around, you know what I mean, and they can put doubts into your mind and they can take you away. You see these missionaries when they are singing, you know, and they and the way they do their propagation, they win the masses over. We don't want to be enticed by those people. We love our simple deen. You know, bada al-Islam ghariba wa sayyaudu ghariba, you know. Our simple and straightforward deen, as was taught to us by our Rasulullah and Sahaba Kiram, it is our duty to safeguard the Muslim Ummah as far as this is concerned, Maulana. So you praise the subject. I have just highlighted to you, I'm not hiding anything. I have spoken to the respective brothers, you know, and the brother communicated one message to me. And I don't think he'll be bold enough to mention it to me. So I'm also bold enough to tell you. And he mentioned to me just last week, he sent a message to me. I have it. He said, it's about time we have an alternative brand of Islam. Let me just open it up again and tell you that I'm not misquoting or anything like that. Shops, I'm over the time limit as well. But I just want to see quickly.
Gee, while we're waiting, I've just been seeing this Mufti Masood Ibrahim's website. In the post that he's putting on, we see Abu Taymiyyah is there. He's, you know, a great promoter of the Salafis. And exactly what Mulana is saying, allowing this platform. That's why that name, the title of the Masjid, Masjidul Muslimin, is, as Mulana said in the beginning, all embracing. And what's the meaning of this, all of this year?
Okay. Now, you're Mulana Korichi, right? It's simple, straightforward. I'm not shy. I'm not afraid to mention it because Mufti Saab, you know what I mean, had mentioned it to me. So once it mentioned it to me, you know what I mean, it's a message that I got and a message that I'm able to convey to others. For too long, they had a monopoly on our deen, masjids, and minds of innocent followers. So we ulama, in other words, we had a monopoly on our deen. And they did not brainwash and mess up big time, right? It's about time we have an alternative brand of Islam. There is only one Islam. Inna deena inda Allah in Islam, as propagated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikiram, right? And that is what we stand up for. So it is clearly mentioned to me, it's about time we have an alternative brand of Islam, one that is inclusive. So once it is inclusive, that means you can call anybody onto that particular platform. One that reflects Allah's rahmah, the beautiful words, Allah's love, justice, and not one that's business is to make halal haram for the sake of bias, prejudice, or business. Allah protect and guide us. This is a message I've just given you, Mulana, that came to me. And you can already work out from this word, the alternative brand of Islam. So the brand of Islam, for all these years, in our madrasas, where the ulama were earning 100 rand, 150 rand, they came from India, you know, and I met once five ulama that came from Saudi Arabia, all right? When they came here, they came to Madrasa Zakaria, I had the opportunity of taking them to Roshni. So they mentioned to me that, you know, we have come to now understand the sacrifice of the ulama of the Indo-Pak subcontinent, okay? And what they mentioned to me, he says that the fitna of Qadianism, we did nothing, right? You people stood up for it. The fitna of Maududiyat, you people stood up for it. Right? Qadianism, Maududiyah, he mentioned, and Shiaism also, you people took it up in your cudgels, you know. And the British Empire, who's the one who got rid of them from the sands and soils of India? Our ulama ikram. Read about, you know, the Asir in Malta, you know, the prisoners of the island of Malta, etc. Look at Hazrat Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madni, Rahmatullah Ali, and their backs were burned. You know, the sacrifices. And then look at Maulana Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali, who should run in the midday heat on the sand and on the grounds of the Jama Masjid of Delhi. You know, look at Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullah Ali, the Bani of Darul Uloom Deoband, you know, who created this institution because it was the ultimate aim and object of the British, who said that we'll leave the Muslims of India, the Indians of India, to look like Indians, but we'll make them British. right? Okay, just if you give me a minute or two, Molana. Our ulama of the Indo-Pak subcontinent, I come from a background where I stayed by Molana Masila Rahmatullahi, they hated the game of cricket and soccer. Right? Because they say that the British invented this. When one of the last Mughal emperors, his sons were taken by the British, their heads were cut off, you know, and they were kicked around like soccer balls, you know. So if you look at the dynamics of the sport of this day, is actual, you know, lahu and la'ib and play. And they entice the ummah. In fact, even our ulama kiram, you know, in this day and age, you speak about Manchester and this and that. These are, and they didn't even want to see the game of these kuffar or critics. Who are instrumental? These people from Saudi Arabia told me, you Muslimin, the whole world went against Afghanistan. How many countries? Those Afghanistan, they're known as the Taliban. Taliban are the products of Darul Uloom Deoband. They took on countries of the world with their chambals and with their turbans, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they made them run, you know what I mean, between their legs. So these people who are firm and resolute on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Ghazans, you know what I mean, they are firm and resolute. And what is exactly happening is, you know, the axis of evil, and we call it whatever it is, Muftizah speaks about the Shias and everything. It's a sad state of affairs that the Sunni government around there did nothing to assist. What is the greater object, you know what I mean, of the great Persian Empire? And these people got greater Israel in mind. We do not know what the politics behind those scenes are. But I can communicate to you some messages that I get from one of these websites, you know, that are connected to Iran. You'll be absolutely shocked at the declarations that they make and everything like that. So we are in a dilemma, you know. I mean, we have to go back 1,400 years back, and we have to dedicate ourselves to the pristine and pure teachings. So the ulama has stood up against the British Empire. Same thing in Afghanistan. Our ulama has stood up. And alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. So we have to embrace, you know what I mean, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pure deen of Islam. Because to practice on a deen of Islam is going to be like holding a hot ember in your hand. And the time has come. So if we have to save our masses, we'll have to go. And if we have to go back 1,450 years, we must be proud of it, to go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no modern ideology and modern concept of Islam. There's only one pristine, pure Islam.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. I think we'll have to have a part two of this, inshallah. Our engineer is here also. He's telling us, hey, we over time.
Sorry,
make dua, no problem. It was a message that needs to be discussed. We'll also create awareness as well, inshallah. But we can have another program on this, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.